ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज, स्टूडेंट्स, गेस्ट्स, यंग बॉयज हू हैव असेंबल्ड हियर टुडे फॉर अवर मंथली प्रेरणा फेस्टिवल। टुडेज टॉपिक इज इंडीड वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग, सेंट्स एंड स्विंडलर्स। And the drama after the lecture will be even more interesting. So please stay till the end. And I would especially like to thank all the students that in spite of a cricket match, so many have come. I think each and every member who has come here today should be specially congratulated for this great sacrifice. And I'm sure that you will leave today learning many things. Lot of effort has been put by His Grace Vasudev Prabhu in making this PowerPoint presentation so that things are very clear as to what we are trying to present. So a man got into a taxi. So the taxi driver was driving. Suddenly this man from behind touched the taxi driver from behind, tapped him on the shoulder. The taxi driver started shouting loudly and he lost control over his driving wheel, steering wheel, and the taxi started going left and right and finally came and banged near a tree and stopped. And the taxi driver was shouting. And this man was bewildered. And the taxi driver turned around and said, "Never do that to me again." This fellow said, "What did I do? I just tapped you from behind. What was this reaction?" The taxi driver said, "Actually, I have started driving taxi from today only. Till yesterday, I was driving a funeral van containing dead bodies. So as soon as I saw that tap, so the problem is not with the man, but the problem is with taxi driver." So all of you have come here today, and many of you must be carrying so many different kinds of rotting, stinking misconceptions in your mind. We have all been carrying and driving this baggage of practically dead, futile theories and philosophies in our mind. We have been driving and carrying this funeral van for so many years, and all we are going to do here today is just tap you little bit. So then if someone just gets bewildered and starts feeling what's going on, then that's not my problem. So you should know that what you are going to receive today is based on age-old truths of the Vedic literatures. None of it is my own concoction. You are going to get a bona fide message based on the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And therefore, even before the lecture begins, you should know that whatever is spoken here will be the truth. Like in court they have Gita par haath rakh ke shapath lo, jo bhi bolunga sach bolunga, sach ke siva kuch nahi. So whatever you hear, however shocking it may appear, But that is all nothing but the truth based on the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And you will see all the descriptions here on the screen. So let's begin. It's entitled Saints and Swindlers. So we are going to have the presentation in the following format. First we'll discuss the problem. Then we'll have a discussion about the solution, about the saints, and then application as to how to become saintly. As far as the problem is concerned, the problem we'll be discussing in the following scheme. First, we will define the problem. We will define who is a swindler. Then we will discuss what are the various causes for swindlers. And then we'll also give description of the various types of swindlers. So that will be definition, cause for existence of swindlers and types of swindlers. So, this will be the general description of the problem, and most of the part we'll spend defining the problem and understanding the problem. Definition, cause, and then the different types of swindlers. First, definition of a swindler. So it is described, as far as swindler is concerned, what exactly is the definition of swindler? So Oxford Dictionary gives some interesting definitions. First one, it is use of deception to deprive someone of his money or possessions. Now this is very interesting. Now very interesting feature is, as far as the human being is concerned, every conditioned soul suffers from four defects. And these defects are known as Brahm, Pramad, Karana Patava and Vipralipsa. Brahm means that all of us have tendency to be illusion, because all of us have imperfect senses, and because of this we commit mistakes. And when we commit mistakes, we try to cover up those mistakes, and in the act of trying to cover up those mistakes, we indulge in what is known as vipralipsa, or a cheating propensity. So this cheating propensity is one of the inherent defects of every conditioned soul. All of us are engaged in this act. I was reading an anecdote in the Wincom. There was a hunter who went with his dog to the forest. The dog strayed away from the hunter and he was jumping around a tree. Suddenly he saw from a distance a tiger approaching at full speed. This dog understood that tiger is coming for his lunch and he is going to be that. So he had to think fast what to do. So as the tiger approached very nearby, this dog sat down near the tree and showed as if he has not seen the tiger at all. There were some bones lying nearby. This dog picked up some bone and started exclaiming, "Very delicious, tiger." And he threw that bone away. This tiger was really very delicious and he threw the bone away. And the tiger saw this and got scared. Said, "My God, this fellow has just eaten a tiger." And he found him delicious. Immediately tiger started running away. This scene was seen by monkey. And the monkey started laughing and he thought, "What a fool this tiger is." But he thought, "This is a good opportunity for me to come in the good books of the tiger so that I will get protection." So tiger is looking for food, and this monkey looking for a shelter and protection. So immediately runs to that tiger And the dog sees that monkey is running to tiger, understand, this monkey is going to spill the beans. So monkey revealed to the tiger what was the reality. So tiger said, how can this fellow cheat me like this? Come, immediately we'll go. I'll devour this dog. So immediately the monkey sat on top of this tiger and the tiger started coming back again. Again the dog saw and he understood the scene. Again he had to think fast because he was going to be finished. It was a question of his defense. So again he showed as if he has not seen them coming at all. And then as they came nearby within hearing range, the monkey said, I sent that monkey away for looking for another tiger half an hour back till he has not come. So as far as material world is concerned, we have to do four things: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Some people are looking for eating, some people are looking for mating, some people are looking for defending, and some people sleeping. Eating, sleeping, defending and mating. And how to do this, for that they have meeting. That is the only purpose. Therefore, because resources are limited and desires are unlimited, people naturally resort to cheating propensity. It's one of the inherent faults of the conditioned soul. We can't help it, we can't avoid it. Therefore, here the definition is very interesting. Using deception to deprive of money or possessions. Now, interesting, just see the first two words, using deception. Now, using deception is not something wrong, because if you go to a magic show, what do you see? Many of you must have been to magic show. So magician is standing and then he waves his hand and then does like this, suddenly 100 rupee note comes out from his ear. And now everyone is clapping. But everyone knows that 100 rupee note cannot be here. Because if he could produce 100 rupee notes like this, he wouldn't be a magician performing shows. He'll be roaming around everywhere taking out 100 rupee notes whenever he wants. That is a magic trick. It is deception. But as long as he's taking out his own 100 rupee note and putting it back, nobody has any problem. But if that fellow enters the audience and just and all the 100 rupee notes in your pocket goes away, then you will not sit quiet. So that deception has gone to the realm of depriving you of your possessions. But everyone loves to go to magic show because it is only deception. And there is no depriving of your possessions. And therefore magic shows are very popular. But when one comes to the realm of stealing or depriving, then that comes under the category of swindling. Therefore it is described here, using deception to deprive one of money or possessions, or to obtain fraudulently by using some fraudulent schemes. And typically we find that there have been so many such instances. All of you know, in the finance market, so many scams. All of them are known as swindlers. So many big dealings going on and people losing all of their life's deposit, all of their life's savings, duped by a swindler who used deceptive means to deprive them of their possessions. So this is a general definition. Now we will come to the specific context, and that is definition with a spiritual context. What is the meaning of swindler when it comes to a specific context, spiritual context? And that is, number one, if someone claiming to be religious, then how can he be known as a swindler? If I claim I am a doctor and you come to me for treatment, first question you will ask is, What is your degree? If I show MBBS degree, that's bona fide. If degree is not there, still I am claiming, then that is swindling. You go to mechanic, he can repair the car and he claims to be car mechanic, that's perfect. But if car mechanic says that, sir, apart from welding your door, I can also perform some operation on your stomach, then you will be in trouble. Then what he is claiming is not true, because he is at the most only a car mechanic. But he is claiming certain things without having the qualification. So that comes in the realm of swindling. And therefore, if we are talking in terms of religious activity, spiritual context, if I claim that I am spiritual, or someone claims he is spiritual or religious, what does it mean? You must ask him very simple two questions. For every field there is qualification based on which a person is accepted as bona fide. So for engineer there is degree, for doctor there is degree, for lawyer there is degree. For a religious person, what is the identity? How will you know whether someone is bona fide or not? Ask him these two simple questions. Number one, who is God? And number two, how to love God? If these two questions are asked, then you will understand whether someone is bona fide or not. Otherwise, anyone can claim to be anything. These two questions are most important. Who is God and how to love God? If someone has perfect answers to these two questions, he can be accepted as a bona fide saint. And if someone does not have bona fide answers to these two questions, then he cannot be accepted as bona fide saint. He comes in the category of swindler. And therefore you should know, how can you claim anyone to be swindler like that? Who will tell the answers to these two questions? Just like doctors have standard medical books, engineers have standard medical books, in the field of spiritual science also there are standard books, standard literatures, there are certain standards. Those have to be accepted and understood. Otherwise, any person can claim to be anything. So two questions. Who is God? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How to love God? By the process of devotional service. If these two answers are as I have mentioned, then such a person is accepted as bona fide. Now we will give detailed explanations also, and in course of our programs in this temple and the courses we conduct, these subjects are discussed in greater detail. But today we do not have time to describe in great detail as to why and how Krishna is supreme, and why bhakti is the only means of pleasing Krishna. That is beyond the scope of discussion of today's topic. But axiomatically, we are accepting these based on standard references which we will quote in the course of our presentation. Therefore, how to understand saint or swindler is very simple. My dear sir, who is God? Krishna. Okay, tick. How to love Krishna? Through bhakti. Tick. Okay. Perfect standard. Acceptable. Anything short of this standard, not acceptable. Comes in the category of swindler. As simple as that. It comes in the category of swindler. Therefore, let us try to see, as far as cause for the existence of these swindlers is concerned. Having defined who is swindler, we will come to the stage of asking for cause. Why do these swindlers exist? What is the cause? Why different types of these people who are cheating in the name of religion, they are existing? First cause, number one, there is demand. Everyone has studied here economics. You know, law of supply and demand. Unless there is demand, there cannot be supply. Swindlers are existing in market means there is demand. Right? And typically all of you know why there is demand. Because people want products cheap. That is the general tendency of any customer. Anyone here in this assembly who always wants costliest, anyone who wants products at the costliest rate, highest rate, generally people want at the cheapest rate. Any new book comes, foreign author, you go and ask in the stall, how much costing? He will say 800 rupees. You will say, how many pages are there? 150 pages. Oh, 150 pages? 800 rupees? If I Xerox it, then I get 75 rupees. So you tell your friend, hey, come on, buy it, man. So you recommend to your friend, you buy. And then you will Xerox. Right? So all this facility of Xeroxing booming like anything because of what? Everyone wanting things at cheapest possible rate. Right? So therefore, if you do not want to pay the price, you want something cheap, so Xerox is available. How many people buy original software, original CDs? As soon as some new CD comes, you will come and ask the rate. How much? Zero, 200 rupees. Oh, 200, okay. You will see who is buying it. As soon as you have seen who is buying, okay, later, 10 rupees CD, copy, psh, finish. Job is done. So this whole business of getting things at the cheapest possible price is there. It's part of the psyche. And therefore we find here that so many people are existing who are able to provide you things cheap. Like for example, there are people who wanted to go to Dubai at certain point of time. So big craze some years back. And they didn't have proper qualification, they didn't have proper visa, they didn't have anything. But they had that desire and they wanted to go cheap also. So many agents came up. And they were promising people, we'll take you to Dubai. Just give us some 5,000 rupees and you can go to Dubai. So they would take these 5,000 rupees from the people, put them in the boat, go from Gateway of India, roam around in the ocean for 10-12 hours, and then drop them at Alibag. And this fellow, already he is illegal, so he won't ask too many questions. Dubai has come? Yeah, this is Dubai. Come on, get down. So he gets down, he roams around, asks, which is this place? Well, Alibag. And that fellow is bewildered. But what he can do? Because he wanted to take something cheap. So you're also getting someone who's promising something cheap, such agents, but they can take you only to a certain point. So he's wanting to go to Dubai. But what he got? Paisa Dubai. That's all. All his possessions finished. So all of us have this possession of faith. And we have the capacity to put that faith somewhere. But the problem is, as soon as you come to Hare Krishna, you hear first thing, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. And you feel, my God, this place is too costly. Is some Xerox available? And then so many people willing to supply Xerox facility. So many people are willing. So many Xerox outlets are there. And so if you want that, then you will get that. Because you do not want to make the sacrifice. Do not keep your workmen on this top to create scratch on the carving. So many people are willing. Why? Because you want something cheap. So you are looking for people who will say, eat anything, drink anything, sleep as much as you want, have sex with anyone, we have no problem. But you just keep coming to us, just keep paying us something. Do whatever you want, think whatever you want, lead life any way you want. After all, God is all merciful. You can do anything, but just keep coming here. And people love that. Because from their side, they want also a tag of being religious. Therefore, they are looking for something religious, and there are people who are willing to supply that tag of being religious, but these people can pay only a certain amount, and so at that rate, you will get certain facilities. It's as simple as that. So, sarva dharman parityajya, and all these concepts which are there in the Gita appear too costly, too exorbitant, and one feels it's a real luxury to be able to afford a lifestyle like this. Without anything, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, nothing. And on top of that we say no coffee, no tea. And then people get completely bewildered. They can't take any more. Therefore, this is the first concept. You want something cheap, demand. Second is desire. So you may wonder that why people are not able to pay the highest? Why you are not able to give the maximum amount? If the highest is available, Krishna consciousness is highest, why one cannot have it? That's because each person, based upon his previous life's activities, carries a certain kind of sukriti, credit. And based on that, desires are generated. Now, for example, why somebody is eating at vada pav stall and somebody eating at 5-star hotel? Why? Because amount of money in the pocket. The credit, what you are carrying with you. If you are carrying 20 rupees and you enter a 5-star hotel, at 20 rupees you enter a 5-star hotel and sit in the restaurant and go through the menu card, where even tea, coffee or anything will be costing 80 rupees, 100 rupees. What that fellow will think after seeing that menu card? Quietly he will come out. What he will do with 20 rupees in 5-star? He will think, better let me buy one 5-star, Cadbury 5-star. That is the only thing I can get with this 20 rupees. So somebody enters with 200 rupees. Still he can buy something, little bit, to some extent. But there is a limit. He may think, I am going to have a nice lunch today. But he enters the 5-star and sees that one rice plate, 150 rupees. One dal, 250 rupees. And he gets bewildered. So he has some stock, some amount to at least enter. But then he can't go beyond a certain limit and he comes out. Only if someone has thousands of rupees in the pocket, he can actually enter, sit, and then have that facility. Similarly, when we talk of Hare Krishna, based on previous life's activities, different people have different kinds of stock of karmic activities and sukriti. Some people have only 10 rupees worth. As soon as you invite them, come for Hare Krishna program, they will say, my God, no Hare Krishna, Hari bol to you. It's too difficult for us. We have heard what they say. We can't come. So you should know, only 10 rupees. As soon as they hear, they find it impossible. Someone has at least 200 rupees. So he makes the effort to come all the way and come and sit for the class at least. Comes all the way, sits and hears what these people have to say. So he likes everything, lecture going on, kirtan, and then different points in the lecture start coming out, that one should be disciplined, one should be celibate, one should control his senses, and no illicit sex, no intoxication, And then as each one starts coming out, as the bill starts being printed, he realizes, I don't have so much stock. He gets up and walks off. And finally, only those remain who have sufficient stock to pay the kind of price which is demanded in this place. So therefore, this is like 5-star hotel. Only those with that sukriti will stay. Others will come, roam around, see and go. Therefore, because these people cannot pay to that extent based on the level of their faith, so they have to have certain outlets. And so many are springing up and giving them in the name of real religion. So that is the second most important point. Thirdly, disorder. Third cause. As far as Kali Yuga is concerned, it is a yuga of disorder. Bhagavatam says, Nisha mukhe shukhadyota tamasa bhanti nagriha yatha pape napashanda nahi veda kalau yuge. On a rainy season evening, when it is twilight, the clouds have completely covered the skies, the moon and the stars cannot be seen. The only light which you can see is the light of the fireflies. So it appears to you that fireflies are the most effulgent personalities in the evening. But that is not the fact. The fact is the moon has been covered over. Yatha pape napashanda nahi veda kalau yuge. So Kali Yuga is like the rainy season of all the yugas. It is the dark, cloudy yuga. Clouds of ignorance and hypocrisy have covered the spiritual skies. And the real moon-like, star-like personalities cannot be seen. The real pure Paramahamsa Vaishnavas cannot be seen. Only firefly-like swindlers become prominent and they are seen by people. And because they are seen at a hand's distance, so people are impressed and feel we should associate with them. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. He got down at the airport, a reporter asked him, Swamiji, there are so many gurus and yogis and swamis who are now coming here in the USA. What is your opinion about all of them? And Prabhupada said, they are all nonsense. And this fellow got bewildered. And the reporter said, Swamiji, I mean, could you speak a little bit more because you have spoken too short about them. Would you like to elaborate? Prabhupada said, yeah, one more thing. They are all rascals also. And the Prabhupada said, anyone who is not teaching people who is Krishna and how to love Krishna is in this category. And many people make full use of the clouds of ignorance which are pervading in this age of Kali Yuga. So this is as far as the cause for swindlers is concerned. Now, let us see the different types of swindlers who are available. And basically, I have divided them into 5 categories, 5 types. And this is based on a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto. The first is starting with C, charlatan. Second type is a hoaxer. Third is egotist. Fourth is abuser. And fifth is transgressor. So if you want to remember, just remember cheat. C-H-E-A-T. And you will get all the 5 together. And what these 5 actually represent, we will try to explain. But you should know that if you want to know the truth, you have to keep your mind open. And these things can be very easily understood if you keep your mind in a positive frame of mind, trying to change. As they say, that some people's mind is like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and permanently set, and they cannot change at all. And some people will go into all kinds of analysis, but simple things they will not be able to understand, because they go too deep into trying to discuss what is what. Like I was telling the story of Sherlock Holmes the other day in Aurangabad. All of you know Sherlock Holmes. He had a wonderful, brilliant assistant. His name was Dr. Watson. So Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson decided to go for a campfire. So it was a nice evening. So they went for this campfire and they set up a nice tent and they slept at night. Suddenly in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes got up and woke up Watson. Said, "Watson, do you see the sky?" He said, "Yes, I see. I see so many stars in the sky." He said, "What do you see?" So Watson said, "I see that astronomically there are billions and billions of galaxies. Astrologically the sun is in Saturn. Horologically I can understand that it is 3 o'clock in the morning. Meteorologically it is going to be a very good day today, tomorrow. And as far as theologically I can understand that God is in control. What do you say?" And Sherlock Holmes said, "Logically I can understand that our tent is stolen. We were sleeping under the tent and I have woken you up and you are seeing the sky. So many logic you are bringing, but simple thing you can't understand what has happened." So people go too deep into so many things in life, but the simplest basic fundamental issue, where am I putting my heart, where am I putting my energy, where am I putting my consciousness? It is such a simple thing. Who is God and how to love God? The most simplest basic logical question, and nobody is concerned with these two simple questions. It is so simple. And therefore it is said that the mind is like a parachute. Parachute, if closed, cannot be of any help. It can be of some help if someone wants to commit suicide, if it is closed. But parachute can really help you when it is open. Similarly, when the mind is open, then it can help you. Otherwise, you cannot be helped at all. Therefore, now let us try to see what are these 5 types of swindlers. First type. Each type we will discuss in the following way. We'll define, then we'll give a refutation, and then for each one we will give an example. So it will be a perfect analysis of each one of these types. And I'm sure after going through this, you will have many of your doubts and questions answered. So first type, charlatan. Who's a charlatan? It's defined that one who is following vidharma. Dharma badha vidharma syat. What is the meaning of vidharma? Vidharma means religious principles which act as barriers to your own progress of real religion. Real religion is Krishna consciousness, and vidharma means any so-called religious activity or principle which acts as a barrier to your practice of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to understand this factor. Bhagavatam says, as refutation of this, dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho arthaya upakalpate, narthasya dharmai kantasya kamolabhaya hi smrita. Try to understand this factor. People are following some dharma, but mostly they are following dharma to get some artha, and they are following artha to get some kama or sense gratification. Artha means money and kama means sense gratification. But Bhagavatam principle is, if you are following dharma or religion, it should not be for the purpose of getting money. And you should not use these principles for the purpose of sense gratification. That is not real dharma. And those people who promise you some kind of dharma with the allurement of giving you some money or sense gratification in return, they come in this category of being vidharmi or charlatan. And there are many prominent people. First is the professional Bhagavatam reciters. Now we'll give some examples. There could be many, but we have chosen only a few examples. Professional Bhagavatam reciters. So all of you must have seen Bhagavatam recitation going on so many places. Sapta, Bhagavat Sapta, and so many people giving these saptas. But the problem is, the katha vachak or the speaker is charging money for speaking this Srimad Bhagavatam. And the people who are attending, they are attending because they want to overcome their sins and obtain some piety. The organizer is organizing because he wants it as some kind of a social event for some prestige in his community. So all three parties have their own vested interests. So therefore, in the Samhitas it is described, Veda vihinascha patanti shastram, shastrena hina cha purana patham, purana hina krishino bhavanti, bhrashta sate bhagavata bhavanti. Some people study Vedas, they find it difficult, start studying Dharma Shastras. Some others start studying Dharma Shastras, find it too difficult to understand, start studying Puranas. Those who study Puranas, if they can't understand the Puranas also, they can't understand the scriptures, they become farmers. Purana hina krishino bhavanti. And someone who cannot even become farmer, bhrashtasate bhagavata bhavanti. When he becomes failure, even as farmer, then he takes to the profession of using Srimad Bhagavatam for the purpose of reciting and earning money out of it. And this is one of the most abominable, heinous types of sins which can be committed. Bhagavatam is Puranam Amalam. And so Prabhupada says that the speaker doesn't know what is the purpose of Bhagavatam, the hearer doesn't understand. And Prabhupada gives a nice story. One time there was one Bhagavatam reciter who was speaking, and he had this long beard, and there was this old lady who used to attend regularly. And as soon as the speaker would start speaking, this old lady would start crying tears. And the Bhagavatam Kathavachak was thinking, my speaking is so impressive that just see how her heart is being moved completely. This was going on one day, 2 day, 3 day, every day he would speak, and every day this lady would start crying. 1 week finished. Bhagavatam Sapta was over. This Kathavachak speaker came to this lady and wanted to ask her what was her response. And she said that, Mai, you were coming every day and hearing this Katha, you were so much immersed, absorbed, impressed, transform. Could you tell me which part of the Bhagavatam you like the most? Which touched your heart the most? The cursing of Maharaj Parikshit? Or how Krishna left Vrindavan? Or how the gopis were crying in separation from Krishna? Which part you liked? And this lady said, what? What Parikshit? What gopi? What Krishna? I can't understand anything. And he said, but my, you were every day coming and you were crying and crying and crying when I was speaking. What you were crying for if you could not understand what I am speaking? And he said, oh, that I had one goat and I was very much attached to that goat. And my goat had a nice beard, you know. And recently this goat died and I was feeling great separation. So whenever you would start speaking, your beard would start moving. I would be reminded of my goat and start crying. So Prabhupada says that people also visit such kind of recitations and start crying. They carry handkerchiefs with them. They keep crying and crying. And as soon as one person starts crying, two, three people start crying. Someone is not crying. He feels something wrong with me. I am not crying. So he also makes... Swami bahut rote hain. And he is glorified the most. He becomes like their Uttam Adhikari. Someone who can cry the maximum. Maharaj Parikshit was not sitting in front of Shukadev Goswami and crying. He was sitting for the purpose of hearing for his emancipation. And Shukadev Goswami was not speaking Bhagavatam so that he felt after Takshak comes and bites Parikshit, all that kingdom I can take over. So 7 days I have to somehow do time pass and then finally everything will come to me. No, the motives were totally different. Therefore, such people who charge money to speak Bhagavatam and those people who attend in lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of numbers to hear this Bhagavatam, both are in the category of cheater and cheated. Both have something at stake. That is first. Secondly, ritualistic chanters. There are some people who are very particular about what should be chanted and when it should be chanted. They don't believe that holy name is all powerful. So they are known as ritualistic chanters. Now, I had an interesting experience when I had gone to Yerravada jail in Pune. Any of you been to Yerravada jail in Pune? It's not inside. But if you have seen, you will see it's a very huge, impressive complex filled with all life convicts. That is the speciality of that jail. All the convicts are life imprisonment. So I had this program and at least there were 500 prisoners who had been convicted for life. One good thing about jail program is number is predictable. Number is guaranteed because they can't go anywhere. So they have to come. So these 500 people were in the hall and I was giving lecture. And as soon as lecture over, one fellow raised his hand and he said, I have a question. I said, what is your question? He said, no, I won't ask from here. I will come on the stage and ask. So I got scared. I came near the DCP and said, should I allow him? He said, no problem, he can come. So this man came on the stage. And then he started saying that now you have been speaking in your kirtan, this name, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. In the Shastra, the name mentioned is Hare Ram. And while you have been glorifying the kirtan, you have been saying Hare Ramo. Now my question is, what is the real thing? The Shastra says Hare Ram and you are chanting Hare Ramo. So how you have made Ram into Ramo? And all the prisoners started clapping. And they felt, yes, our guy is also not less, very Shastric. And the ACP was telling me that he's having 12 murders. Huh? Very encouraging. So I said, okay, my dear sir, if I give you one mango, right, and I say that this is Alfonso mango and I call it Amo, ye Amo khao. Now will you eat it or not eat it? So Shastras give so many description about how the holy name is all powerful and can be chanted in any way. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Bengal, at that time the situation Navadvip was like this. You could not chant any mantra any time. Ati bada sukriti se snanera samay Govinda Pundarikaksha Namaucharai. Ati bada sukriti se. There were people who are saying that only if you are highly advanced, you are born in Brahman family, then you can chant this mantra. And that too only specific mantras. Govinda Pundarikaksha.